with Wally and Flip, the Routines Pod.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Wally and Flip.
I'm Wally.
And I'm Flip, and welcome back to another episode. It's been a busy week for us over here in the States, keeping up with U.S. nationals, and I'm sure it was a busy week and also late nights for anybody who was keeping up with U.S. nationals internationally. So we're going to break it all down right here, right now. I think let's start with men because this was the most controversial and unexpected event.
Yes, definitely unexpected. That's for sure. Who should we start with?
If I asked you last week who you think the three men who would make the Olympic team, who would you have said?
I mean, I said Ilya, Jason, and a big question mark. I did not have an opinion for the third one, but I think to me the biggest surprise is Jason.
Huge surprise in Jason Brown. So let's level set. We have Ilya Malinin in first, Andrew Torgashev in second, and Max Naumov in third. This, people, is your Olympic team for the United States. Now, top three in selection criteria after nationals, excluding Lucius. Sorry, Lucius. We have Ilya in first, Torgashev in second, and Jason in third.
What do you think of them not putting Jason on the team?
After Jason's performance in the long program here, it would have been a really hard sell to get him on the Olympic team. And his performances in the fall were not enough to justify putting him on this team, despite the selection criteria. And I do understand now why they have that little star underneath that says, or that selection criteria can also be based on discretion of the selection committee. I do get it.
I agree. And this is what I was trying to say last week, but I think you have to still take into effect how someone's been trending. And to me, Jason usually trends upward. And I thought that his start to the season was certainly better than it was last start to the season. But I just expected him to keep getting better and better. So I agree with you. After that national skate, it would be really difficult to justify the Olympic spot. However, I do see they gave him the world team spot.
Which really surprised me. Tell me who the world team is, by the way. Because it actually didn't surprise me because you just told me that for the first time. Who's the world team?
It is... No, okay, I can't find it, but if I recall correctly, it's Jason, Ilya, and Andrew Torgashev. So they basically just swap Max and Jason, and I believe Max might be first alternate.
Okay, they did Tomoki so dang dirty.
Yeah.
Oh my god. There's steam coming out of my ears.
I do find that surprising, but I think they're banking on Jason just having another world moment like he's had for the past quad and getting us the spots we need.
Oh, I'm going to stop you right there. Do we need the spots?
Okay, well, that first question, the spots will still be determined by worlds.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. And yes, I do agree with you. I do think two spots could be sufficient for next year.
Oh man, if we only had two spots this year, it would have saved us a lot of headaches. I'm just kidding. I'm honestly genuinely really happy for these three men. And I'm happy for Andrew Torgashev, despite, we'll get to that. But just with this Olympic selection for the men overall, it really is such a nuanced and complex decision to make. Because even me, in the last 24 hours, several times, like, I've been able to rationalize to the point of, I'm like, okay, yeah, this team makes the most amount of sense, or this would have been the best possible team. But then I think of something else that totally contradicts everything I just thought, and then I start going in circles. I don't blame them for going 1, 2, 3 in the nationals placements. We have to remember, in the selection criteria, multiply the total score at nationals by 4. There's a heavy weight on U.S. nationals, so I think this was totally fair. Obviously, they wanted Max on the team vehemently, both USFS and NBC, and they made it happen. And Max made it happen as well. Max skated well.
For sure. And I just want to stay on Jason for a second because I'm sure we have lots to say about Max, but it does look like they also gave Jason the 4 continent spot. So that kind of makes me think, are they trying to test him to be like, If he does well in four continents, great. If he does, and I know they gave him the world spot, but do you think there'd be pressure for him to withdraw if he is staying on this trajectory?
I don't think there would be pressure from anybody else other than himself.
Sure, sure.
Right? Because we have to remember, after four continents, there's, what, 2 to 3 months before Worlds. So it's a long time to continue training. Or in the same way, it's, you know, you take a break. It might be hard to kind of get lace your skates back up and get back out there, especially after a tough couple of competitions. So I think we'll see. I'm happy that US is giving him the opportunity to end his career on a high note.
I agree. It's a nice little redemption. And I guess that's where they gave Tomoki another spot. It's the men's team for four continents. It's Jason Brown, Tomoki Iwatashi, and Jason Sanchez.
Oh, Jacob Sanchez.
Yep, Jacob Sanchez. I do.
Or Jason.
I know his name is Jacob. And anyone who wasn't watching the United States Johnny Weir and Tara Lipinski commentary, well, first off, you lucky ducks, wish I were you. But can we just talk about Johnny Weir's comments regarding the rumors in the hallway about Jason shouldn't be on the team?
He said there was, Jason did not have a lot of support backstage, which implies, I think, what you just said. But okay. He didn't outright state that. Yeah, I just want to be clear in that he did not say that, but it was certainly implied.
Yes, I just interpret what I hear.
Yeah. Look, Johnny, that was a low blow. It just was unnecessary. We saw what happened out there with our own eyes. It was catastrophic. First of all, it's just inappropriate. First of all, it's like you're spreading gossip. Who was saying it backstage? What, like the media? Like who? Obviously, that's not what it was. I'm sure like the selection committee, officials, all of that. That's not a good look for Johnny to NBC and US figure skating.
Agree. And that was, it would be one thing if they said it after his long program, but they were saying this even during the short. No, maybe not those exact words, but they were implying these discussions were happening.
Right, like he did say the same thing in the short program, which is crazy because it's like, are they no shirtamas?
Right.
They can't, how did they, like, it's like, did they know he was going to skate so poorly in the free skate? No, he wasn't skating that horrible in practice.
Right.
So I don't know. By the way, if we were on video right now, my hands are literally, I'm like throwing my hands around, like pointing. But Tara and Johnny, huge letdown this week. I have so much to say about them. I think it'll come up as we walk through this discussion.
Yes. And if we don't get through all of our thoughts, let's make sure we leave a special little spot at the end for them.
Oh, yeah. Well, believe me. I'll make sure of it. I'm going to highlight the notes on them in yellow. Okay. Let's talk about Tomoki, because we already alluded to Tomoki in that I had thought he was done so dirty. My initial reaction was that they cheated for Max by lowballing Tomoki. I thought that for about 20 minutes until I reflected. Max really only had 3 minor mistakes on the jump passes. There were no falls. Max also has much stronger skating quality and spins.
100%.
Tomoki had 2 minor mistakes on his jump passes, a couple of cues that I actually thought were pretty severe in the sense that they were detectable to the naked eye.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think what put the nail in his coffin was the triple axel repetition where he only got half credit.
Right. I even forgot about that.
Yeah, me too, until I saw the protocol. So for anyone out there who's feeling how I felt yesterday of, I really wanted Max to make the team, but not this way, I think we can set ourselves free from that thought because it's not true.
Agree. And I think Max is fairly good under pressure. I mean, maybe.
Is it pressure or is it just inconsistency?
Yeah, I guess. I just feel like there was so much pressure on him.
Well, NBC wasn't helping. Like, get absolutely out of here.
No, but that's who the pressure was. Like, I think if Max just would have come in and was just allowed to be like any other skater and not have his trauma repetitively put on blast every single second. I just felt like that must have just been the pressure mounting more and more and more. So under those conditions, I think he did an absolutely phenomenal job, which is why I think he can really lock in even with the pressure that strong.
I hope so. I really do. And also, I hope at the Olympics, they let the people get to know Max for Max and not for these traumatic things that has happened in his life. That said, we need to remember these people, his parents who lost their lives, all of the skaters and coaches who lost their lives on that flight last year. But I hope they remember to also let everybody get to know Max for Max, because he's still an individual person that I think a lot of people maybe who just tuned into Nationals weren't able to see.
And to that point, Flip, that's why I liked when they were got to know they were on the Olympic team first with the lead from, I'm assuming, USFSA.
Yeah.
His commentary was solely about Max and the work that he's done over the past 4 years. Like, it was just about Max. And that was great.
And it's, I don't think it's U.S. figure skating that's, like, toxic in this regard. It's NBC.
I agree. Yeah, because, I mean, yeah. You said this last week, like, they, well, when you say they want the story, it was really more NBC.
NBC.
Well, I was going to say, I know we're jumping around a bit, but, like, speaking of the toxicity of it all, how Christine Brennan, like, leaked that Max was on the Olympic team. Like, that was savage. Why would she do that?
Yo, Christine Brennan was on my list ever since she made the comment about Diana Davis in 2022, she was bullying her backstage.
Oh, what did she say?
Because Diana, like, wasn't talking in the interview, her, Diana and Gleb. Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, what do you have to say, Diana? And Diana's like, I'm so happy, like, quiet. She's a very shy person. We know she suffers from, like, hearing loss. She can't hear very well. So, you know, she's not comfortable speaking. Right? Then you have Christine Brennan, like, totally bullying them backstage. It's like, this is, like, misdirected anger.
Well, can you even see how she said it? It was like, Max, now Mav, basically person whose parents died in the plane crash, makes Olympic team. And, like, there were people retweeting it being like, Max, extremely talented figure skater who worked really hard, made the Olympic team. Like, it's just all for a news story. Let's also celebrate Max, well, of course, remembering the trauma and remembering the people, but...
But also with Christine Brennan, I'm not on her side. She is a journalist.
Yeah.
She is doing her job.
Yeah.
Maybe not ethically. And I think Diane and Gleb, that was not ethical at all. But when she saw that list of skaters who were going to be performing at the Olympic team announcement show, she ran and said, huh, this is my chance. I'm going to be the first person to break the news. Which, like, from a journalism perspective, like, applause, but, like, come on.
Yeah.
I don't, USFS might not, she might lose her credentials.
Yeah, I wonder. Probably not, but.
Probably not, because I'm sure she won't. She wouldn't risk that.
But I know we got a little bit off Tomoki here, but I do agree with you. Tomoki has had a great season, and he's fought so hard, and I think maybe some more first alternates would have been nice for Tomoki, but when you do look at the skates side by side, the scores can make sense.
Yeah, the scores here make sense. It doesn't discount, though, how well Tomoki skated and that he was the best performing U.S. male skater in the fall next to Ilya. And yes. I wish they would have rewarded that a little bit more in the Worlds and in the World spot specifically. So it's showbiz, baby. It's actually not showbiz because it's a sport, but you know what I mean. Let's talk about Torgashev.
Okay.
He did three, like, single toe loops very aggressively before skating his free skate. And I honestly think that's what did it. I've never seen him do that before.
Huh.
If he's skating in the team event for the free skate, I better see those three single toe loops beforehand, Torgashev, believe me. Like,
yeah, I really wonder what US is going to do now for the team event. For men, specifically.
I think that all they can do is cross their fingers.
Yeah.
Gold is a tough sell for the U.S., and we'll talk about that in our Olympic previews, but that's going to be a tough sell between pairs and men.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a shame that if Torgashev would have just kept his thoughts to himself and, you know, in, you know, private, you know, you can keep your thoughts private, I would have been so happy for him.
I know, and I really try to do my best to separate...
I know.
But it was hard for some reason, because we cannot take away that Andrew Torgashev's skate for his free was really phenomenal. It was excellent. He fought so hard. But yeah, I was not as excited as I once was.
I also hate that Andrew was kind of vindicated in what he said about Jason, but whatever. Let's move on from the Olympic team to Mr. Jacob Sanchez. What a glorious free skate. It brought me back to Montreal in 2024 with him using Adam Siamfa's Free Skate music from that year, or at least portions of it.
I didn't realize that, so.
That's okay. Now, I don't know if he'll ever be able to get that quad because he has such beautiful floaty jumps, but with floaty beautiful jumps, rotation tends to be a little bit slower. Like thinking of Jason Brown, Denis Vasiliev's, like they both have, his jumps really remind me of both of their jumps when done well.
I was thinking the same thing though, Flip, like he is the future, but he really needs a quad. I don't think we can at this point get away with having someone who only maxes out at triple axel.
Right. And he, if he ever wants to get to a level of Jason Brown component scores, we're years and years away from, even if he gets to that level, we're years and years away of judges recognizing and rewarding that.
Mm-hmm.
So who do you think is
the up and comers? I was going to ask you the same question. The ones that I think I would pick, Daniel Martinov, I do think
yeah.
that was a pretty solid skate we've seen from him. He could be someone that continues to improve. Listen, I mean, Lucius has the technical.
Yeah.
So it could take a bit,
yeah.
but.
He has the technical. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes. I will say his long was much better than the short. I think because of the music, like maybe he really needs a heavy classical piece.
Yeah. You know what was bothering me in the free skate and why I was laughing?
I know, his shirt.
The shirt.
I know, it's too short.
Oh, it was too small. It was too small.
He's so like, tall.
Oh, yeah, really? He's so tall.
Like,
he's afraid of his height, I think. You know what I mean? Like the way, because when you have a tall skater, like I'm thinking of like a Roman Sadowski. We'll get to him later. Sorry, Roman. But like when I think of skaters like Roman and like Jun Wansha, they're tall, but like they use that to their advantage in that they take, it appears as though they take up more of the ice and there's more power in their height. And it's just like not the same for somebody like Lucius. And maybe it's because Lucius has longer legs. I don't know. Look, I really don't.
How tall are they?
Probably not as tall as Lucius. Lucius is like 7'8".
Well, that's where I don't know if they're completely compatible. That's where I was more so leaning into Nikola Memela, because I think they're both over 6 foot. Not I think. I know they're over 6 foot. Thus, I don't know. If you're like 5'10 and you're saying they're tall, maybe that's different.
One of my comments on Reddit over the weekend during Lucius's skate was, he's besties with his quad toe. And someone responded, the quad toe is his emotional support quad. Oh. And I'm like, that's so true. Like, why is his quad toe so good? But then like his triple Lutz and triple flip, like barely get off the ice.
But still, that's who I think would be up there, I yep. guess, for men. But that's where we go back to the initial starting point. Having two spots
is plenty. Jimmy Ma. Iconic. I do not care. Honestly, I would have been fine if he didn't even jump at all. It was just so much fun.
I know. I just was here for the choreo.
The YMCA. Is that even... Honestly, I just love like those moments where people come together. And I feel like everyone came together to do the YMCA for Jimmy Ma.
That was...
It was a feel-good moment.
It was a genius choice by Jimmy to ditch and, his original program and go for this.
Yeah, so his original program was Nessun Dorma. Boring. Yawn. Not actually. I genuinely typically love it, but not for Jimmy. Are you familiar with what Jimmy's backstory is for his free skate?
Tell me more, Flip.
Do you know? I'm asking.
Yeah, because you told me today, but you
can't. Oh, that's right. I told you. You were with me.
That's why I was oh, like, yeah. tell me more.
I forgot. So his free skate is supposed to like represent almost like a wedding. So you start out with like your first dance, you get into the dances of the night, and you end with your YMCA. It's what a great idea. And weren't his costumes like so killer?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Extra this year. Because I was going to say he always dresses well and sure, but this year they were really all out. Especially the free. Yeah. I loved all of the embellishments and gems.
All right. Let's move on to dance.
Okie doke.
Chalk and Bateson first. We're just going to level set right out of the gate. Zingas Kolesnik in second, Carrera Ponomarenko in third, and that baby is your Olympic team. This was a no-brainer here in my eyes. Now, had Zingas and Kolesnik not made the Grand Prix final, and if, let's say, Green and Parsons didn't have that catastrophe where they had to withdraw last minute at Cup of China, I think we could potentially be looking at different results. But I do believe here there was no denying Christina and Anthony and Emilia and Vadim here. They're just, you couldn't with the results from the fall.
I completely agree with you. And I've been a little bit surprised to see the discourse online. I felt like everyone was so team Kolesnik and Zingas, said that weird backwards. And now all of a sudden they're so upset that they got on the team versus Green and Parsons.
Well, I think a lot of it is they're sad for Green and Parsons because this was the second Olympics. They ended in fourth after nationals and didn't make the team. I also think with ice dance being more subjective, especially to fans like us as well, who aren't experts in ice dance, don't understand all the inner workings, there's a lot of differing opinions. And I think, you know, when it goes one way for one team, those other people who maybe aren't as supportive of it get a little bit louder. That's what I think it is. I think there's just a lot of varying opinions.
Yeah, I saw something specifically about their turns, how they hop them. And I mean, I have never seen such a thing. Is that something that you pick up, Flip?
You know who I also think looks like they're hopping, but they're definitely not sometimes, is Piper Gillis. But she definitely doesn't. I don't watch that closely, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, me either.
Definitely Vadim is not. One thing I do get that I hear is, like, you'll hear ice dance experts say, you know, newer ice dance teams, they look like they're grabbing for each other when they're switching holds or positions. And yes, I agree. I can really see that with Zingas and Kolesnik. Another critique I have, I would really like to see them perform more to each other. Emily is like 98% on the judges. Comparing them in that regard to Carrera and Ponomarenko, like Carrera and Ponomarenko crushed them in like that performance connection category.
Well, and they have so much history. I think it was like, wasn't it like 12 years or something that they've been skating together versus Vadim and Emily are 4 years. And she was just a single skater. So, I mean, listen, I think they could, I don't notice those things because I'm very unobservant and I don't really know what to look for. But with their athleticism, I think sometimes they're able to, maybe the grabbing, they try to hide that with some of the intensity of the program.
That's true. I'm going to watch for it.
Yeah. Well, now I am. I didn't know that was a thing I should look for.
Well, like I would roller skate. There was a time like during COVID where I learned how to roller skate on...
I just am excited to hear how this is going to connect, but go ahead.
Roller skates where you have four wheels, which is very different from an ice skate blade, right? With, of course, like your similar mechanics in that you have your left edge, right edge, it's just a little bit different. Wait, so, but when I would learn to do three turns on them, I would cheat them all the time and hop them because it was too hard. So like, I get how that could happen.
I'm sorry. It's hilarious.
But you know what I mean? Imagine me, by the way, roller skating in my garage in 2020.
And also in the basketball courts in the park.
Oh, yes. That's right. Okay, moving on. We don't care about Flip. Speaking of Carrera and Ponomarenko's performance, I think they do a better job at performing as a unit than Chalk and Bates when they have the right material, as they have with this perfume free dance. But they knocked my socks off here.
Yeah, I mean, I must just not have been watching dance that closely when they did this program, because I was like, how do I not remember this? It's so good.
It was giving, like, the way I felt watching, like, Piper and Paul's Wuthering Heights, like, to me it was like that level of storytelling and build. It was wonderful. Okay, let's talk about Green and Parsons. I actually haven't seen their full free dance until this week, and I was really impressed by it. It went by so quickly, and there was so much to watch and take in with all the intricate choreography.
I am obsessed with their free dance. I love it so much.
One thing Gabby Papadakis said while she was commentating on Mita's Like Tanith's, Charlie and Tanith's, I don't know if that's whatever's going on there, but Charlie and Tanith's school, we'll just say that. And their team's programs, and it's so true. She called out their musicality and how they incorporate musicality into the programs. And that goes such a long way. I was like, that's so important, especially in a discipline like ice dance, where, you know, people watching maybe don't understand all the technical aspects of it. But like when there's musicality, it's like, oh yeah, that's hitting and it's a crowd pleaser.
Yeah. And I think the John Luke Baker being the choreographer really helps as well. I mean, he's a great choreographer.
Oh, of course. Yeah. And it's interesting that he choreographed it because it still has like so much of what you know Caroline and Michael for. Like the intricate choreography, like the use of arms, the interesting lifts, like it was all still there. So super impressed with them. Now, they're going to be at Four Continents, I assume. I assume the Four Continents team is Green and Parsons, the Browns, and Brady and Somerville.
It's actually, instead of Brady and Somerville, it's Zingas and Kalesnik. I feel like they're
not going.
Yeah, I mean, Jackie Wong, someone asked it, and he commented that it might be to try to get their world standing up. But yeah, I mean, it's in China, too. So like, that's difficult from a time perspective and having to adjust.
Yeah, we'll see. I guess if anyone can compete. I always am under the impression that it's like easier for ice dancers to compete, which is probably not true.
Well,
and not fair.
And let's also think, maybe they don't have to go immediately if I doubt they'll be in the team event.
The team comp, yeah.
Do you think Maddie and Evan are just going to do both?
I think they're going to be like forced to.
Yeah.
Unless USA is willing to just give up the gold.
Yeah.
The Browns.
Love that program so much. The Godfather. That was genius.
It's genius. I think they're very likable. People will like them. They need, however, a complete overhaul in packaging and style. And I think Godfather's in the right direction, but they need to continue down this path. I have an idea for them next year.
Ooh, let's hear it.
Succession. Because it's like family vibes. They're family.
I don't know.
You're like,
I don't really think it's that good of an idea. Just because they're family. And it kind of feels like we're trying to repeat what happened.
It was stupid. I'm just... God, why do I come up with such dumb ideas?
I just can't see it.
Okay, fair enough. I'm already getting convinced that, yeah, not a good idea. Brady and Somerville. I'm waving my arms in the air. They were glorious here.
They did
like,
very well.
I actually have in my notes, I think they could be your Four Continents champions.
If they're allowed to
clearly
go.
Clearly, that's not in the cards. Johnny Weir, here's another bone to pick, bringing up Guillaume and Laurence during their Vogue rhythm dance. Again, literally had steam coming out of my ears. And then sitting next to Gabby, like, we don't care. And you know why we don't care, Johnny? Because they're not competing against them. How about that? It doesn't even matter. I don't know why he felt the need to bring them up, but...
Every single time this happened to at Skate America, when she's commentating, when in doubt, they're bringing up Guillaume in front of her. I'm just like, why do we keep doing
almost,
this?
I know. It's almost like Johnny's like, I'm going to bring up Guillaume and look over in Gabby and see what her face does. I'm going to see what kind of reaction she has.
Last time it was Terry, I'm pretty sure. Like, I'm like, are you guys, do you read anything on what's going on? Like, the most recent thing that just broke, too, about how Guillaume didn't want Gabby to report the sexual assault she became a victim of.
I did see all of that.
And he threatened to break up with her. So, like, that is fresh. Please, everyone has seen that. And then you're asking her about him? Okay.
I know. Johnny with all the low blows.
Sorry, one more, just while we're on ice dance and Johnny. How about how they introduced Vadim during the free dance? I don't know if that was Johnny.
Oh, yeah. Let's exploit more skaters for their trauma. So, yeah, they mentioned Vadim's father and brother is still in Ukraine. And their house was bombed in January.
And here they go. What are we doing?
By the way, that's an important part of Vadim, right? And I think it's important, you know, for people to know that. Right? That, like, people are really impacted by this war in Ukraine, right? But, like, right before they go on, and their house was bombed. Cue the music.
Well, That's Whoa. Where, right, that's where I'm like, does he even know that's being said? Like, to me, that's something that you should be talking to Vadim about. Let him tell his story.
Yeah, I mean, you would hope that they talk to them and interview them beforehand, and that's how they choose what to say before they skate. Fingers crossed that's what happens.
Yeah, I doubt that's what happens, but fingers crossed.
All right, let's move on to pairs.
Oh, wait, we can't move on yet. We did not talk about the Twizzle 2026 disaster of the Ship Zips. We have to mention it. Okay. I know, but come on. That was...
Alex, math, physics. What are you, like, look, it is what it is. Like I said last week, there's no chance. Did I think they would end in, what, 10th? No, I didn't think they would end in 10th. I thought it might be, like, 6th. I'm glad they did the right thing. I don't even really want to waste my breath talking about it because it was just, like, so anticlimactic and they weren't ready and then they changed the rhythm dance and somehow made it worse, even though they had a great rhythm dance to start the season. Like, it's just absolutely bizarre.
Yeah, I think we just have talked about it a lot that we have to close the chapter and this will be the last time you hear us talking about them unless they try to come back for more later.
I would be shocked out of my mind, but yeah. But also, like, Alex didn't even move out of the way. He didn't move out of the way when he messed up his Twizzles. So it was like, yeah, obviously Maya's going to run into you because you're standing there.
Right. And then he just sat in the kiss and cry, like, almost during the whole next performance, crying.
Yeah, like, what was his goal in doing that?
I mean, I know he's upset, but, like, come on, let's move on. This is not your time anymore.
Their comeback was either brave or delusional, right? Maybe a little bit of both. And it didn't work out. Should we move on to pairs?
Sure. This was kind of a disappointing watch for me.
It was really disappointing, and this is where I'm extremely worried for the team event. Let's not even level set on the placements because it's kind of a moot point after the Olympic team was announced, given the citizenship issues. But the Olympic team is Emily Chan and Spencer Howe and Ellie Cam and Danny O'Shea.
I think you should level set on the podium just to know who's sure. out there because that's how we're going to get spots too for next year based off Worlds.
Totally. So we have in first place Efimova and Mitrofanov, second place Cam and O'Shea, and third McBeath and Parkman. So Efimova and Mitrofanov and McBeath and Parkman with the lack of citizenship. Nobody knocked my socks off here. It was a really tough watch in both the short and the free skate. What the most memorable moment was from this Paris competition for me? I think you'll be surprised.
Yeah, I don't even know what.
Audrey and Balazs' short program to Tango de Roxanne.
And of course I missed that, so.
You did miss it. But look, I'm going to tell you, you have to go back and watch it because Audrey performed like she was in the Oscars race. Like she had me. And this whole season, I was not picking up what they were putting down. I did not see what USF saw in them. I guess I still really don't. Also, when you watch it, look at how they're doing their crossovers. Like, and it's something so simple, but they're leaning so deep and like their upper bodies forward into their crossovers. And it's so effective. Almost like it's like a sense of like wickedness. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just so like, okay. Like, I see you.
What did you think of their long program, Audrey and Balazs? I know, you know, some discourse, some people thought that score was pretty harsh of 117, I believe. What were your thoughts?
Well, look, no, I thought that was dead on.
Yeah.
I think if they hadn't messed up the lift where they got a base level lift, we'd be looking at something different.
Well, and their twist, I think also it was at least maybe just a level one. Like, I still think their pair elements need work, which obviously they're still only been together a year or so. The way they do as a pair doing these moves is excellent, but you can tell. Look,
Emily and Spencer can't do the side-by-side jumps.
Oh, I know. Well, not many can, at least this competition.
Another person I was impressed by, because I'm going to try to focus on the positives here. Ryan Bedard is such a solid pairs partner. I was really impressed specifically with him in the lifts, how solid he was. Actually, what's interesting, both Ryan Bedard and Max Fernandez, like they're not your classic pairs male archetype from like a physique perspective. But they're both like so solid and sure of themselves in the lifts.
Agree. And this is triggering another question I have for you. A little random. Who do you think will be Star Andrews' partner next year?
I think Star is going to be a really great pair skater. So I hope she gets a great partner.
I think so too.
Now she is dating Luke Wong.
Right. So I feel like everyone says that.
We say it like kind of as a joke, like, oh, I guess Luke is dropping Olivia.
I know.
Is that what's going to happen? I guess too, like Olivia might, for all we know, Olivia could be retiring and saying, yeah, I'm going to go off to school. I'm going to pursue something else, for all we know.
Yeah, I'm not getting those vibes that she will be doing that, but who knows?
I agree. And one thing I do appreciate about Luke Wong and Olivia Flores is that they were pretty inventive in their programs. Well, their free skate was inventive. What their short was just Whitney Houston. But I appreciated like the uniqueness of the free skate.
One thing that I found a bit unfortunate was, I mean, I know it's the Olympic year and the Olympic, what did they call it? The show today?
I don't know. The Olympic team show. We know what you're talking
about. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. It kind of sucked that Alyssa and Misha didn't get to show off their national title at all. Like, they won it, and then it was just kind of like, see ya.
That was bizarre, wasn't it?
That was kind of unfortunate.
They could have done, like, your classic gala and had, like, the Olympic announcement at the end. Or something like that. There would have been no harm, no foul in that.
I agree. Yeah, just another way to capitalize on just trying to, you know.
All right, should we move on to our final discipline in Winneman?
Sure.
All right, let's level set. On the podium, we have Amber Glenn, Alyssa Liu, and Isabel Levito. Obviously, your Olympic team, period. Gaga program, yay or nay?
I guess yay, if you make me pick one.
I agree. If I had to pick one, I'd say yay. It's probably somewhere in the middle. Almost said I loved it, but then I was like, that's a stretch. I was relieved that it was better than the first iteration of the Gaga program. I was really surprised to see how many people didn't like it. Not even that they didn't like it, but maybe that they thought she should go back to Donna Summer.
I'm sick of that program, so I prefer this.
And look, it's not like the execution of choreography was her calling card in the Donna Summer program either. It was the moment at Worlds that made it. I don't think anybody was gung-ho over that program until World Championships. I think with the Lady Gaga program, at least more memorable choreographic moments.
Yeah, and the Olympics is going to be much more widely watched. People are going to know the songs and they're going to like it.
And she looks amazing. Yes. The hair, like the packaging, the dress. I don't care that it's silver. It's chrome, first of all. You know what's interesting? I think like her and Lila Lewis could have some like family ties because they both really struggle with like those sharp movements. Like they both have the same weakness.
I can see that. I do love the choreo when Alyssa's more so like throwing her body into it. And it's like that's what her short program is, which is probably why it's very good.
But in a sea of, I think probably what are rather sleepy programs, we'll always have Lady Gaga. Keep it, girl. I know you listen every week. I know you tune in every week. Okay, wait, really quick. I almost wanted to start out with this. Elise Lynn Gracie left Tammy Gamble.
Okay, I heard that they said new coach, but, you know, we weren't allowed to see any of the coaches in the Kiss and Cry MVC. Who was her new coach?
Damon and Drew.
Oh.
So, like, how does that work?
Amber.
Like, is Elise at the rink?
Amber did that.
So how does that work? Like, is Elise at the rink in Colorado and she's like to Tammy, I am done with you. And then storms off 10 feet and then works with, like, Damon? Like, obviously, I know it doesn't go down like that, but, like, it's just, like, bizarre. So what, like, she obviously must be so over Tammy, though.
I mean, she's best friends with Amber, or at least really looks up to Amber. Right. And I feel like Amber was part of maybe doing a little influencing behind the background about her great experience with Damon. And, I mean, it truly has been. Amber, I think part of the reason how she's improved so much is the coaching change and is the support she gets from him.
I didn't even think about that. I think that's exactly why she moved. Hopefully, I mean, I really feel for Elise because it's just like she can't get a break. Also, Amber here. Wow. Do you think she's going to skate like that at the Olympics?
I hope.
Let's talk about Brady Tennell and Sarah Everhart. They were both, so Brady was at 140, Sarah was at 138, I believe. They were just, I think, such stars here in their own right. And it was such a journey for both of them, like Brady having so many years of struggle and again to like end on such a high note here. And then same with Sarah in this, a different sense of like her improvement in the execution of this choreography is freakish. Like, it's been 2 months since we last saw her.
Yeah, both of them had some great performances. Love Sarah's dress. Was not too sold on Brady's long program dress.
Yeah, me either. But you know what? That should be the least of our worries, but I agree with you. So good for them. I hope they have another bright shining moment at Four Continents because I assume they're both going.
Yes, it is Brady, Sarah, and I believe Star.
Awesome. Oh, also Star's Vampire Free Skate with her cover of 1,000 Years. I would listen to that in my car. Star, get that on Spotify stat. You know what? Wouldn't it be great if the Four Continents podium was the same as last year in Cheon, Brady, and Sarah in some order? Since Cheon, obviously, we don't need to discuss. If y'all saw our video on Instagram or listened last week, we don't need to talk about that. But yeah, awesome. What an amazing women's event. Looking at some of the younger up-and-coming girls, like, there is so much potential here. I think between, like, Sherry Zhang, Emilia Nemirovsky, Alina Bonillo. I mean, Sophie, of course, like, for her technical content, but, like, all of them are just, like, not quite there yet in some way, whether it's consistency, technical content, like, for Sherry Zhang, she doesn't have a triple-triple, and just overall polish, like, none of them are quite there yet, so it will be interesting to see if they're able to make the rise.
All right, shall we move on briefly to just Canadian Nationals that I keep wanting to call Skate Canada?
Let's talk about Canadian Nationals because I'll tell you, I did not watch a single program, but I am aware of the results. So let's just level set. We have Steven Gogolev as the national champion. Our boy, do I feel for Roman?
I know, this is an instance where really wish there were two spots.
I know. Again, like, to me, like, both of them have kind of become staples in the men's event, that for both of them not to be here is going to be a big shame, especially after how well, I mean, obviously Steven was amazing this weekend, but Roman really came back in that free skate. So it's makes me really sad, but also, you know, Roman's had some really bright shining moments in his career, and he's had a long career. And he's always been in the conversation a little bit, like, from a top 10 perspective. Like, he always had that ability. And I think this year he probably really wanted that redemption after not making the free skate at Worlds, at Olympics in 2022. But I think almost, like, his national skate was his redemption.
Yeah, I'm sure he is upset, but he's had a great career. And, you know, maybe he'll go to Four Continents. I don't think they've called the teams.
Yeah. No, they haven't. So I guess we can only speculate.
Yeah.
Women, Maddie Skeezes in first.
Yes. Maddie Skeezes, a.k.a. doesn't care about media training.
I love it. I wish we saw more of that. But it's also like, I don't think it was like anything against Gabby.
It wasn't anything against Gabby. See, because I was going to say, we say that, but like, obviously, Torgy says something and it's like, okay, but Torgy, what he said was a little bit cruel.
We're such hypocrites. We're like, wow, how dare he? Maddie, woo! Like, literally, such hypocrites.
To your point, she said nothing rude against Gabby. All she commented on, she even said, you know, it's great for her that she's back, but she's not beating me. Like, cool. Torgy should have said something like that, right? She didn't make a slight against Gabby.
You know, if Torgy was like, let's wait until Nationals, people. That's all I'm going to say. I'd be like, okay. Okay.
Right.
I'll believe it when I see it, but okay. So, I mean, we're going to have to assume Maddie's going to make that Olympic team. So, congratulations to Maddie. Pairs. I mean, I'm going to assume it's Deanna and Max and then Trent and Leah. But Deanna and Max, the stock keeps going down every competition.
Yeah, Deanna said she was sick. So I think she said for 2 days she couldn't keep any food down. So that has to impact the performance.
Yeah. So, yeah. We will wrap up this episode. Okay, wait, sorry. I guess I should say with Ice Dance, there really were no surprises. And Piper and Paul in first, Marjorie and Zach in second, and Laureate and Lagog in third. So no surprise there. But I almost said flip. Wally, do you have anything else you want to share?
I do have one more thing. What's going on with Conti and Machi? I know they withdrew from Europeans. Do we think that's just to prepare for the Olympics? Or is there like a concern that they're injured?
Could be a rolled ankle for all we know. We have no idea. I haven't heard anything. But yeah, speaking of, we have European champions next week. Championships. Speaking of, we have European championships next week. So we will have an episode for Europeans. Then we'll have an episode for four continents. And then we'll get into our Olympic previews. We'll also... We're also going to have recap episodes of the new Netflix series featuring Madison Chalk and Evan Bates, Laurence Fournier-Boudry and Guillaume Cizerone, and Piper and Paul, I believe. Those are like the three featured teams. I'm sure it's going to be so vanilla and boring.
What do we know when they filmed it?
No idea. I think sometime last year.
I wonder if it was during... Piper's crash out over the scores, because that would be entertaining.
What I think happened, I think Piper was not quiet about her thoughts on I Am in this series, and she knew it was going to be coming out in February, so she went, I don't care, I am going all out, I'm speaking my mind because it's going to be heard anyway. That's what I think happened, and that's why she totally kind of went all out.
So vanilla for two, but Piper's going to give us some spice.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll be back next week. And ta-ta for now.
Bye. With Wally and Flip, the routine.